than the work they do in South Africa, they are doing work internationally. And they've raised our stature internationally in terms of what they deliver over there. As you would know, AXA is running Mumbai and Garulhos Airport in Brazil. ATNS is controlling our airspace that starts from around the equator, halfway to Brazil, Antarctica, and halfway to Australia, to Australia. And Civil Aviation Authority, that has been re-elected by ICAO last week as one of the countries that contributes immensely to civil aviation. Then the next one also which we achieved was their quarterly report and also the annual reports. And we have been able to hold their AGMs, some of them a bit out of time, but they were held as according to the statute. The other thing which is not here is the issue of vacancies, which somebody is going to talk about. At that time of this report, we had 23% of vacancies. And currently, I may say that we've got only 7 vacancies. We're still waiting for other people to be appointed. There's this process of integrity check, I think. It takes a bit long to clear people after interviews. The last but not least, which is a poorly performed item for us, is the budget expenditure. Somebody is going to speak to this, but we spent 97% of our budget, 79% of our budget. And that is because of 450,000, which was popping for Umtata refurbishment. And 104 million of that money was not spent. Hence, our expenditure indicates that we only spent 79% of our budget. But we did overspend in international travel and air licensing cancels. So the non-expenditure was for Umtata refurbishment, which was then rolled over to this financial year. Thank you, Chair. If I may move to the next, it's maritime. I'm only going to speak to the items that they've not achieved. But the two entities, I think the greatest contribution that the department should focus, the portfolio committee should request from this or require from this, is skills development. I think there's a wide area of skills development, because if we skilled our people, then they are marketable and there are chances that they can get jobs. And I think there's huge capacity within these two entities, two modes of transport, to ensure that we have more skills, people trained. The non-achievement is the fourth one, that is the evaluate efficiency of freight logistics and cargo tracking. Now, to do this, we needed to have a logistic database. They should develop the logistic database, so that whenever goods, wherever they are, if they are sent from one place to the other, from a certain place, they should be able to be tracked as where they are and where the expected date of arrival, etc., etc. And this was not achieved. And the problem was that there was a bit of delay in our SMC processes. Then the green paper is up and running. And not achieved was develop an inland waterway strategy. Obviously, this has been on the pipelines for a bit long. Now, the inland waters, it means the dams and everything else where maritime activity takes place. And we need a strategy for that. And they are about to achieve it. I'm sure by this end of this current financial year, they'll be able to achieve that. And not achieved here is the audit rate of employment creation in maritime transport sector over the past 3 years, an ongoing trend and analysis. So one of our ministers has mentioned that people must not see the sea, especially the people from the township. That is, it's a place where you can also just go and swim. But people should be integrated into that economy so that they can be productive. So one of the things that they wanted to achieve is to be able to say how many jobs have been created. So that has not been achieved. The other one is a business case for coastal shipping line between Port of Mnuha and Richards Bay. So that we have a situation where goods from Richards Bay or from Port Elizabeth, next to Port Elizabeth, Mnuha, can be transported in the sea. And this is what is being proposed, and this is what they want to achieve. They wanted to do, but they've not been able to do that. And then to develop a business case for ship acquisition and operations. As you know, in South Africa, as much as we have a very long coast, about 3,000 kilometers, but the problem is that our shipping operations are very low. So what was envisaged here was, is there a case for establishment and acquisition of a ship, and is it sustainable, and how should it happen? It's a type of research that they wanted to do, and to measure also the rate of returns of that and see if is it feasible to go that route. And then the other one is carbon print. I think within the department we needed to coordinate and place environmental issues in the proper, it's either we say go modal or we do not go modal. Because if you go modal, then you know our functions. If we do not go modal, then we know somebody else is doing it. And here the challenge they have is that other departments are doing the same thing. There's one department that does it across modes. And we do, as aviation, our own. Roads are supposed to do their own. And there's a problem that you need to resolve there. But that was not achieved. And the other one is the implementation of multilateral environmental protection within maritime transport sector. And this one is also related to environment, but they are still working on this process. Remember, environment is coming as a new issue, in particularly all modes of transport, and we need to be able to say in South Africa what's our carbon footprint, and therefore put measures in place that are going to mitigate the emissions, etc., etc. And the bill, it is still in the process. That one was another one that was not achieved. And the other one was the licensing, operator's license, operating license, which was not achieved as well. And this is all in maritime. But one maybe thing that they would want to, I mentioned when the chairperson was not here, is that the capacity for skills development in these three areas, I think is immense. And it is possible for us to harness it and make sure that we contribute towards the sixth outcome by making sure that we train our people. Not only train them, but place them. We train and place them so that they are experienced, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you. I think this is all, Chen.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I'll then take the committee, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, through the two remaining programs, which will be public transport, and then end up with administration. In terms of public transport, We all know that a couple of cities had done their fires, or in the case of Cape Town, my city, in the case of Joburg, of course, their fire. Tshwane has now started with Arieng. But we did not achieve the launch of Phase 1B for various reasons, as you understand and appreciate the challenges we had in trying to bring the taxi sector in. But nonetheless, a number of these phases are in serious full swing. So a number of cities are in full swing. But we also understand the challenges faced by the city of Cape Town in a legal battle with some of the with the current bus operator over market share, primarily in operations. We know that challenge. But we are intended on moving in the implementation of this, even though we're not able to achieve it the previous year. The second challenge that we had met is just the movement of passengers. But we are meeting some of the we're close to target. In the case of the Avaya, we targeted 50,000. We've achieved 42. And this is where I said sometimes issues not meet, but we are busy with that. In terms of Ekurhuleni, Msunduzi and Mangaung, we already have draft operational plans. In the second slide, the National Transport Scholar Policy, the framework is funded. You remember we came and presented in front of this committee our draft policy on the National Scholar Transport. And you also remember that there were challenges between ourselves and the Department of Education in relation to the responsible authority around scholar transport service provision now, not necessarily the because those are some of the issues that we're looking at. But one of the biggest challenges was, in fact, the issue around who then becomes the contracting authority, which is one of the key challenges. But of course, those are the challenges we're busy trying to finalize between ourselves and the Department of Basic Education. Those, Chairperson, were the targets with respect to Program 7. I'm going to ask, in fact, if I may, with your permission, Chairperson, if I can skip the audit outcomes, because I'll ask, I'll come back to them, but just go through to the report on HR. And then come back to the audit outcomes and finance, if the chairperson so permit. Chairperson. In terms of human resource development and management, these are the figures as at the end of the 2012-2013 financial year. All in all, our vacancy rate is standing at 26.78. You'll recall that the previous year we were at 32%. We now are really moving down. We are seeking to achieve this target over time. Of course, our ultimate target, which is what this committee has been pushing us to achieve, is a zero vacancy rate. But of course, you'd appreciate that it would be impossible over one term to achieve a zero vacancy rate, because you have natural attrition, you have turnover, but of course you also have had a structure that was expanded, creating opportunities for absorption at the same time. So that is one of our biggest challenges, how we balance that. But we are indeed moving in the right direction, Chairperson. As I said, we moved from 32, we're now at 26. But we are looking at really making sure that some of these positions are filled. You remember, our COO has given all of us targets to meet in terms of how we then quickly recruit. We also had a serious drive for recruitment. You would have seen middle of the first quarter, beginning the second quarter, a number of adverts coming out of the department in trying to recruit. And you'd see last week's newspapers, a number of adverts from the department as I'm trying to recruit people. because this is what we want to do, and we believe in making sure that we achieve the zero vacancy rate. Of course, it's always a target, but it's something we firmly believe we'll achieve. And then this is just an indication of where the various vacancies lie. The biggest vacancy ratio is in the category of supervisors at 31.23. And the second biggest is at the senior management level in terms of salary bands. And then we then are showing an indication of what the normal, as I said, one of the biggest challenges is turnover. One of the biggest challenges we have as a department in terms of the turnover, we then aggregated this in terms of the various levels. If you look at the highest number of terminations, it comes from your level 6 to 8. This is the attrition, as it were. And then the next, second biggest attrition comes from your next level after the level 6 and 8 into your supervisor. This is the generally your junior entry-level management, your senior admin all the way to your deputy director. That's where attrition, because what generally happens at that level, there's huge mobility, people wanting to move from one department to the other or seeing other opportunities in the private sector. But in the senior management level, the most mobile is the director level. But as you go up the rank, you see huge stability, and it's an indication, and I'm sure this is an indication that will reflect itself as well in terms of performance in the next year, because the more stable that layer of leadership, the more the level of performance there is. So, Shepherd, this is just an indication, a reflection of what the turnover rate is, and if we aggregate it in percentage terms, just almost 10% of the staff leaves the department on a yearly basis. This is one of our biggest challenges, a massive challenge, but we will endeavor to make sure that we retain as much of the staff as we can, because the inability to retain will, of course, there's a correlation between retention as well as performance, because people leave projects middle and you then have unavailable capacity to deliver. We then sought to check what then are the true reasons why people leave the department. As I said, the highest number is the issue around mobility. People going to other departments because they want to move into senior positions. And as you've seen in the previous slide, majority of the movements are in the entry-level senior middle management. So this is an indication, this then confirms the issue around mobility and people wanting to move up in the public service. And the rest, of course, are as a result of natural attrition, resignation, ill health, and of course, retirement. And then the issue around promotions and movement upwards in the department, you'd also see that the movement is at that level again. The majority of movements are in the middle, junior, so not middle, but junior to middle management, which is, you'd see that you have under levels 9 and 12, where majority of promotions are happening, and you also have the levels of 6 to 8. And then the issue around employment equity. Chairperson, employment equity remains a challenge across the public service and across the South African society, but we are and will continue to make serious attempts in making sure we bring the women on board. And this is what the picture is as now, but we are moving. It's particularly challenging at the senior level, but we are as committed as we are to the we are very much committed to achieving 50-50. In the interview process, we are also have issued not necessarily direct, but saying to managers that are going to be interviewing, let's target women in positions. But secondly, let's also look at internal promotion of capable women in the organization to positions that are coming up. So we are making means, and we are moving in that direction, Chairperson. And hopefully then going forward, we will get in the next MTSF cycle a balanced ratio of 50-50, because that's what we're doing. And some of the interventions we are taking, making sure we have the pool, because one of the biggest things we are doing to create the big enough pool is through internships. I mean, the crop that we took now of internships, majority are young women, so that they then get trained, they then have the necessary skills, they then get exposed to then take up the opportunities that avail themselves in the department. So those are some of the issues we're trying to do, because in an absence of us consciously coming up with a pool, it becomes an exercise in futility. So we are indeed doing that. Let me then go back to Honourable Chairperson, the audit outcomes and the financial matters. I'll go through some, but I'll also ask the CEO, the CFO, the Chief Director responsible for financial administration, which is Dan Pretorius, to come and talk to some of the issues. But I will first want to talk to what the audit outcomes or the audit outcome looks like, and how we as a department have fared in the previous year's audit by the Auditor General. And I must state up front, as a department, we are now done on the 5th year on the trot, if not more, of unqualified audit, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, there were challenges, but we've now been on a serious clean audit. And I'm sure the Auditor General yesterday has truly indicated and show where we were the previous years and where we are now. And on the basis of the smileys, we are moving in the right direction. Let's look at one of the issues raised around leadership. In terms of financial, the prior year we were green and the current year we are still green. In terms of performance against objectives, and I said earlier on up front, yes, there are certain areas where we have not achieved, but there is a huge improvement. Last year we were yellow, this year we are green. It's an indication, Chairperson, of the movement and the swing. And I must say thanks to the efforts of this committee for pushing us to moving into and getting the kind of audit outcomes that we get. And if it were not as a result of the push from yourselves and ourselves, we may either have been the same thing or improved slightly, but there are huge improvements as a result of the contribution of this committee. In terms of compliance, you see we were yellow, we are now green. So, effective in terms of leadership, as well as trying to build a culture of honesty and ethics in the department, we are moving in the right direction across the three. That does not mean we do not have challenges, but we've moved in the right direction. The only thing we have is to maintain it and improve. There's always level of improvement, but it's to maintain what we've done. And your continuous support and pressure on the ability on us doing the right things is honestly welcome. The exercise oversight responsibilities regarding financial performance reporting and compliance and related controls. In terms of compliance, the previous audit we were read, and I'm sure you remember when we came in front of yourselves and SCOPA, that was very clear. In this current financial year, we've improved. It's a yellow, but it's an amber, but it shows improvement. So there is improvement. So we are beginning to put the necessary controls, making sure that the managers responsible for financial controls and internal controls do what they ought to do and comply. In terms of performance objectives, you realize last year we were amber, this year we are green. The one thing that is a worry is around financials. It means we have not improved. Remained amber. We haven't regressed, nor have we improved. So, but those we are making attempts to make sure that happens. And the implementation of effective HR management ensure adequate and sufficient skilled resources. I think this affirms the point I made earlier on. In terms of compliance, yes, we're doing great. But we are moving in the right direction from an HR perspective. In terms of performance, the prior year we were red. The committee knows that very well. But we've improved this year. At the end of the financial year, we are now green. And that's why I'm saying we now have, on the vacancy rate as well, we've now reduced by about 5%. So it goes on and on. If you then look at the various branches, let's start with rail. Last year, in terms of compliance, it was a failure. It has improved tremendously. In terms of performance, last year it was a failure. It has improved tremendously. In terms of financial management, it was a failure. It has improved tremendously. So, again, I just want to repeat this, and Honorable Chairperson, honestly, is that the work that this committee does under leadership in working with the department, making sure some of these things happen, indicates the level of improvements that we are as a department are doing. And I think I would want us in the period I'm acting to continue the relationship in that level. You look at across all programs, that's happening. From an IT governance perspective, we've maintained under compliance performance, we've improved under financial. So this tells a story. And the story is a good story, but of course it will need to keep that going. In terms of financial and performance management, the story is a good story to tell except one. The issue around review and monitor compliance with applicable laws and the issue of compliance. I think in the audit and in the sample that was taken by the AG, of 20 contracts assessed, there's only one, but it did not meet just one area, which was to report to Treasury issues around deviation, but across all, they were green, but of course we were given a red. But nonetheless, still, chairperson, the story is a story that we are moving in the direction, but barring just that one example. And the last one is just the issues around overall progress. Also focus on the red one, which we're looking at, ensure that there is adequate resource and functioning internal audit. You'd remember, from a compliance perspective, we've maintained what we maintained last year, which I think there's need for us to improve. But from a performance perspective, we've improved. It may be that it's still an amber, but we are improving in wanting to take it to green. And those are the challenges that we still have, but Chairperson, we are, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we are moving in the right direction. As I said earlier on, we truly have an unqualified audit opinion with the emphasis, of course, of matter. And these are the emphasis of matter that I'm sure we raised yesterday in the briefing that the committee received. But there are steps afoot in dealing with these matters, both from the department side, with the necessary help from Treasury to deal with a number of these matters. In fact, the first matter, a meeting happened last month on the 16th between ourselves, Treasury, and dealing with the issues around the debt on the inmates' fees and the recovery of such. So there's an agreement reached that money is coming back. In the next audit, you'll not see that matter. So there are indeed attempts of us moving on. And the report on legal and regulatory requirements, there were, as I said, no material findings, because we, all of us, have really put shoulders onto the wheel to make sure that we indeed do deal with matters of compliance. Of course, there and there may be challenges, but we are truly are going forward. We'll come back to the issue around procurement of goods and services under 500. Let me just, it's not an anecdote, but it may sound as an anecdote in the presentation that I'm doing now. In the previous month, the report I got as acting DG, not one single procurement under 500 was irregular. All of them, we do compilation of reports. So, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, that I'm trying to say there are moves. Yes, there's going to be one or two areas, and we will deal with those. But overall, there's huge improvements. One of the around human resource management and the positions in senior management that are vacant for 12 months. We are, we've put a plan, and we are dealing with those as indicated earlier on, and how, as a result of how we begin to be moving from the 30s to the 20s and ultimately to a zero vacancy rate. Of course, that's going to take us time, but it's a serious challenge, but something that we'll need to do. One of the biggest one we did in terms of was the National Treasury to condone us on the Eastern Cape Department of Transport matter, but that was condoned by the Accountant General and the Office of the Accountant General and National Treasurer. Then, can I ask you then to come and talk to the, and please, let's not be too much, but let's just indicate areas of significance that we need to note, but sufficient enough that the chairperson and members understand where we are. If I may, Chairperson, get him to finish up the presentation.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Committee. I'll take you further through the presentation. The list of irregular expenditure here on this slide are those that were added in the current financial year. First, irregular expenditure relating to the prior year that which came over was additional expenditure of 1.6 million that was incurred in the current year on a matter that was discovered and reported on in the previous financial year. There was an investigation that was completed and disciplinary steps have commenced on that one. There was an overpayment that was recovered, making a subtotal of 1.5 million coming over from the previous financial year. Irregular expenditure that was incurred in the current year were three items. The first one, a publication that was arranged without following any procedures. An investigation was also launched and completed, and disciplinary steps are underway at the moment. A quotation was accepted based on price instead of based on points scored. The relevant acting Deputy Director General is taking disciplinary steps. Currently, they were awaiting, they investigated the case and awaited advice from our labour relations. And then for construction project, bids were not invited. This was the construction of the Tata Airport runway, for which we obtained condonement by the National Treasury before any payments were made. But since the original procurement by the Eastern Cape Department of Transport was irregular, the auditors insisted that we declare the amount as irregular expenditure, but also reflect on the financial statements that the irregular expenditure was conducted. This slide indicates all the remaining irregular expenditure, those items that have not yet been resolved. Now, we can only resolve irregular expenditure after disciplinary steps have been taken, because that is mandatory by the accounting officer. These items remaining, the first one is a change note that was signed. Investigation was completed. The second one was a bidder that was selected on functionality. It's being investigated by the public protector, and our own directorate investigations and forensics are now, they have started their own investigation into this matter. A number of publications which were arranged, again the investigation is completed and disciplinary steps underway, and then still the quotation accepted based on price. This is the remaining irregular expenditure. As you'll see, disciplinary steps are underway in all those cases, and for all the major cases, investigations are being done. Taking you to the highlights of the financial statements for the financial year, we'll go through those items listed. Firstly, the adjusted budget. We started about budget with 38.8 million, rolled over from the previous year 80.3 million, made up of the items, notably the National Household Travel Survey and technical support and verification of road infrastructure payments, and the Samba Sonke program management support. There was some additional funding allocated for compensation of employees. On the next slide, we were allocated 470 million as unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure. Firstly, the removal of the Sele 1 wreck from the Bloubergstrand beach. We were allocated 20 million and 450 million for the refurbishment of the Mthatha Airport. Also, we were allocated 297 million as self-financing amounts of transaction fees for vehicle registrations. This is a major issue currently, but steps are underway to recover transaction fees from the National Treasury, from the Road Traffic Management Corporation, and the Treasury cut our budget for taxi recapitalization by 32 million. meaning bringing a total adjusted budget on 818.2 million and the total final budget 39.6 billion rand. Our expenditure of the program, this is a list of listing the programs. On the first, second column, the budget, the expenditure and the variance. All the variances are positive variances, so they indicate either under expenditures or savings, and then the percentage expenditure amounts that were spent. The highlights are the major amounts that were underspent, and we'll get to some details of that, particularly in Program 1, Administration, Civil Aviation, and Public Transport. The expenditure for the year per economic classification, again, very much the same, but this is now broken down per economic classification rather than per program, and we'll see that we underspent or did not spend the full money, made up 105.2 million under goods and services, which makes up a range of projects, 103.7 million transfers to provinces and municipalities. This was due to a transfer that was stopped to a city. 6 million under households, which most of that is because of taxis, less taxis scrapped, and 104.7 million buildings and fixed structures. That was under expenditure on the refurbishment of the Mthatha runway, airport runway. Funds that we shifted in the year, and this is quite important to note, that over the year, for Program 1, the goods and services was increased by 62.9 million rand. Within Program 4, that's roads, funds were shifted from compensation of employees and goods and services, mainly to increase the budget for the Road Traffic Infringements Agency by 14 million to assist the agency with its infringement notices. In Program 5, Civil Aviation, there was a huge shift from a transfer payment, 450 million, to fixed structures because we would have transferred the money initially for the Mthatha Airport to the Airports Company of South Africa, and the funds were just shifted to another classification. Within Public Transport, Program 7, the funding for taxi scrapping was cut by 49.5 million. 18.8 million of that was shifted to goods and services within the program for additional incentives that it planned, and the rest was shifted to Program 1, to administration. So overall, at the end of the year, the compensation of employees was reduced by 30 million. Goods and services increased by 61.7 million in total, and taxi scrapping was reduced by 50 million. Most of that reprioritized to new projects. And one was look at the expenditure in that light. The under and over expenditure per program and economic classification, here we will be looking at the major items of under expenditure. Within Program 1, its goods and services was underspent by 34.4 million, and the major item is there were a number of projects were delayed after reprioritizing 24.1 million from office accommodation. And funds were shifted to the program at year end to accommodate the rollovers that the program requested. Another large item under Program 5, Civil Aviation, we did not spend 104.9 million of the refurbishment of the Mthatha Airport. Within Program 6, Maritime Transport, we saved a net 9.5 million on additional funds allocated to remove the Sele 1 wreck from the sea. Because it was an additional allocation, we could not shift the monies, but it offset other over expenditures within the program. And in Public Transport, a number of projects were delayed after they reprioritized for 49.5 million from taxi recapitalization, and then under provinces and the transfers in total, the major item there is a transfer payment from the public transport infrastructure and systems grant was stopped to a city. The city was City of Johannesburg because of consistent underspending, and the balance was for less taxis scrapped than planned. Per program, this slide lists all the major, all the items of under expenditures. The major items were highlighted. Within program one, we did not receive invoices, our contribution to premises, to the upgrade of the premises, 6 million. A number of funds were committed for a number of projects but remained unspent. The development of a policy, or continuing the policy for the Road Accident Benefit Scheme, PABX, a new public-private partnership for both fleet services and for transaction advisors for new premises. Those amounts were all requested as rollovers to the next financial year. Within Integrated Transport Planning Program 2, a long list of projects that were underspent. Although it doesn't mean that nothing was spent on those projects, but there is under expenditure on this list of projects. This is for goods and services only. For Program 3, Rail Transport, we committed funds towards a feasibility study on the Maloto Corridor, but the money was not yet spent. It is being spent currently in this financial year. Road Transport, virtually spent all of its funds, just saved a little bit on an investigation project where the work was done with a little bit less money than the allocated budget. In the case of civil aviation, the largest single item is the under expenditure on the upgrading of Mthatha Airport, 104.8 million there, and maritime transport, just highlighted three items. The 20 million that we saved on the Sele 1 wreck, the Navy eventually agreed to do the work. The department did not pay anything, but we also had an over expenditure on oil pollution services. These are oil cleanups, which we are not, which we should not budget for, may not budget for contingencies, but we knew that we would be able to offset those overspends with amounts that was allocated. Seven, public transport. It underspent, stopped transfer payment due to consistent underspending, as I mentioned. It didn't scrap less taxis than planned, and a number of projects listed, highlighted at the bottom, were funds that were shifted towards the financial year end when public transport realized that they will be saving money on the scrapping of taxis. Those funds were shifted towards new initiatives with the purpose of requesting a rollover, rollovers for those amounts and to embark on the projects in the current financial year. Unfortunately, we'll get to the rollovers a bit later on. This slide just shows the expenditure breakdown for the year, starting off with the allocations to PRASA, the single biggest budget item this year, 26.01%, and it will grow over the medium term as we allocate more and more funds for the new rolling stock replacement. PRASA followed by SANRAL, South African National Roads Agency, then by the Provincial Road Maintenance Grant, the Public Transport Infrastructure and Systems Grant, Public Transport Operations, and then internal funds, so-called internal funds, our own goods and services, and compensation of employees. In the next slide, the scales had to be amended, otherwise one would not see these figures. These total only 0.68% of the total expenditure, but the largest single portion is transfers in the red to other agencies, which include the Road Traffic Management Corporation, the Railway Safety Regulator, South African Maritime Safety Authority, South African Civil Aviation Authority, and the Ports Regulator. The rural grant for this year was only 0.09%. In the new year, that allocation is likely doubled, and it will be growing over the financial year. And then some other smaller transfers are listed there to non-profit institutions, universities, and foreign memberships, with, again, some internal expenditure made up of machinery and equipment, which is for office furniture and computers, full staff, financial transactions, losses written off, and then leave gratuity and sponsorships. This slide shows full goods and services, the expenditure breakdown. This is the largest items that we spent money on, and the highlights there just differentiate between the programs. The first area is within administration. Large projects there was office accommodation and consultants that the Office of the Director General appointed to assist with audit issues and strategic planning. For integrated transport planning, spent most of his money on the National Household Travel Survey. And in road transport, the largest figures, 297 million, spent on the INATIS maintenance and operations, and 31 million on program development for Samba Sonke. This is a project assisting provinces with implementing the Samba Sonke road maintenance program. Maritime transport spent 45.5 million on oil pollution prevention, 30.9 million on watchkeeping services, and then public transport spent 93 million on the taxi scrapping administrator, and 43 million to provide technical support to provinces and to verify bus contract and road infrastructure. So this, in a nutshell, makes up the goods and services, or the major items on which the discretionary spend took place. The rollovers that we applied for, there's a long list, and there are two columns towards the right, requested and approved, and committee will note that virtually no rollovers were approved, only the amount that remained unspent on the refurbishment of the Mthatha Airport was approved as a rollover. We applied for a total of 187.9 million. We were allocated 104.7 million for Mthatha Airport, and all other rollovers were not approved by the National Treasury. That concludes this part of the presentation.
Thank you very much.